That's the real problem. The bailiff at Judge Judy is bad at improv, and that's what's keeping his career stagnant this entire time.
Yeah. Or is he great at improv and he's being stifled and he gets, you know, she just said.
like Judge Judy is hemming him up in the back and being like, you better not step on my show.
Like, bring it down. Like, relax, buddy. Now let's do it again, but how we usually do it.
I do like to think that there are some tapes where he fully like comes out of his shell and then she like calls cut, like, nah, take that back.
Nah, let's do it again, but the right way. Judy's way.
Yep. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me, the podcast where we dive deep into the pockets of Black conspiracy theories, and we finally work to prove that Doc Rivers invented the see-through fade. That's right. Y'all been calling Doc Rivers bald-headed, but nope, that nigga went to the shop and said, give me the Invisalign, baby. Make that shit see-through. You remember when Marcus Houston wore that see-through outfit? That's what Doc Rivers is doing, but with a taper. I fucking love it. I am your host, Langston Herman. As always, I'm here. I'm excited. My guest today, God damn, do we have a phenomenal guest for you today. He is hilarious. You know him from his special Miami Nights. You know him from Broad City. You know him from the Eric Andre Show. It's fucking Spider-Man movies. And most importantly, he has a pending project, an upcoming restaurant that you're gonna love. It's gonna be phenomenal. It's called Future Poops. You can't wait to hear more about it. I can't wait to hear more about it. Give it up for my guest, Mr. Hannibal Burris.
What's happening, man? What's up, Langston?
Yeah, what up, dog?
That song is great.
Oh, thanks. A dude named Nick Chambers.
Yeah. Just the whispering. I didn't catch what was going on at first, and then and I started hearing it was just whispering different conspiracy theories and that stuff.
Yeah, it's mostly nonsense that me and Nick sat down and wrote. It's a nice time.
Yeah.
Tell me more about these future poops, though. I got to know more about this restaurant.
I had a joke, actually, early on in my career about I don't know why girls like fancy restaurants because all of it. It's future poop. It's one of those just premises that's not really, it probably wasn't great for stand-up, but everything is not for stand-up is what I learned with time. You know, sure. Some things are ideas or concepts and not for the stage. They're for sketch,
some of these are too brilliant to be wasted on just randos in an audience.
Just in a bar. No, some of them deserve to have a team around them, a chef, a general manager, a staff. A building, some music, a menu. And that's the way you flesh out.
Some of these you need to call in the Michelin reviewers to have them come down and get their take on future poop.
Yeah. 17 years after the fact. And so that's where it was. So I had the idea just of a place called Future Poop, where that's the fun, just dumb name, but then having the food actually be really good. And so I hit up a chef friend when I had that idea. I was like, hey man, I got this restaurant there, Future Poop. It's gonna be, you know, future, but the food is good, the branding is good, we got good music and you know, good jingles and all of that, and we donate money to colon cancer research and all of that, and just kind of, you know, make this poop joke experience really good. And he was like, oh, I'm with it. And so then he made a menu. And so it's just gas on the fire. So been moving with that. We're going to try to get in at Pitchfork Festival if we get on the grounds for Pitchfork Festival. Whoa. If not, doing a pop-up somewhere in Chicago if we don't get the official, you know, Pitchfork booth.
I love this. But, I love I love when a bit goes further than a bit was meant to go. And that's it's a beautiful thing when it turns into something more meaningful than we ever anticipated. I'm a big fan.
Yeah, man. Cause you can just realize it's just about the energy you put behind something and putting the pieces together and truly believing. Cause that's what it is. When I get on the phone with folks, they're like, yo, he not fucking around. He's for real. I could hear it in his it's like when you listening to rap, you're like, yo, I believe this, mama. Like when I'm talking about Future Poop, people are like, yo, he's legit. I feel it. He's not messing
this nigga
around.
Is dead serious about Future
he's
Poop.
He's dead serious. He's gonna make it happen. Cause there's a spot, you heard of the Heart Attack Grill in Vegas?
No.
There's a spot called the Heart Attack Grill in downtown Vegas, and it's a medical thing. So people get free food if they weigh over 300 pounds of five. It's something crazy. And people have had actual heart attacks in there, and
holy
they got
shit.
this fake doctor character. And he said, yeah, you know, I'm just trying to show you. McDonald's won't tell you about this, but that, and he's just like, yeah, you know, this food is messed up, but I'm just being real. And he's just fully is committed into this thing.
That's way more fucked up than what you're offering. You're just saying, like, look, let's be honest about the cycle that this food is going to go through.
Yeah.
They're murdering people and being like, hey, you know what you signed up for. Look at our symbol. Yes. Look at our name.
They're doing like burgers with eight patties and just real cartoonish, just crazy stuff. People have to wear medical gowns and it's just a weird zone, but they committed to their bit so much where, you know, it locked in and people make the decision day after day to go in there and have
We're never going to make it past whatever this is. This generation of just like acknowledging that we're dying and then also volunteering for more of it is, I don't know if we're going to survive this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, we need some overeating raps. You know what I mean? Just because there's a lot of, there's lean rap and there's pill rap, but there's no, I hate the whole burger and the arteries. It's then. And this shit is just really just a part
of
me.
My breathing has changed and I don't know if it'll go back.
I'm going to just make fat being cool on the rap. Yeah.
All right.
There's a lot of cool fat rappers.
There are a lot of cool fat rappers.
They're like, yeah.
And they don't focus enough on how they got that way, I think is the larger takeaway from this. We need to know how you made it that far, Big Pun. Don't just start at I'm fat and handsome. Tell me how you got fat and handsome.
And tell us how tired you are after your concerts also. Like, really talk about what it is to put on an hour show and how that feels and how you wish it would feel different.
The toll it's put on your oversized body. Please tell us more.
Yeah. I know it's tough. Cause you know how I know? Because I even when I was a little out of shape and I would do a bit where it just required me running across the stage. I don't know how Cat Williams does it. I would do a bit and I'm like, God damn, that wasn't even that much running.
I think about that bit where he rides the stool like a motorcycle all the time. And it's like, nigga, how did you find yourself down there that easily?
Yeah, man. It's cardio, man. That shit is real cardio. I've seen folks, you know, when you see singers training and on the treadmill or something and singing their stuff to get, that's where it is, you know. I love that clip of Kanye performing Touch the Sky. And then he, I just wanted to dance. I went to Jacob and Alba Fest. I got in advance. I just want, and he's running across the stage full speed. He's like, that's tough to do, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, when people like energy, yeah, he cares. He's just, you know.
Yeah. He's invested in this journey. All right. We can't banter anymore. We got to launch into this shit because you came with a conspiracy theory that I would say has been one of our most highly requested ones. No one's ever brought it up to me, but you're the first. And you said, my mama told me.
Mountain Dew lowers your sperm count.
Yeah, I've been.
Tell me
it's
more.
I just see. I've been hearing it, and it just feels right, man. You know, and it's kind of Mountain Dew. Mountain Dew does seem like it would do something like that. It's just it's not great tasting at all, and it's not. Most soda isn't good for you anyway, but Mountain Dew, if you had to rank them, Mountain Dew feels like the one that would, you know, just put your bloodline in danger.
Yeah, there's something about it that seems the most unnatural of all the sodas. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
yeah,
all right, I know what some of these things are at least attempting to tell me they are, but Mountain Dew is like, hey, nigga, we made this up. This ain't got nothing to do with nothing.
It ain't got nothing to do with mountains or dew. Mountain Dew, if you're talking about, that's just water. Should be just water. And you just, nah, we got all this other stuff in it. So that means they, you know.
Our water glows and it don't stop glowing even when it's inside of you.
Yeah. I will say I did, when Mountain Dew Code Red came out in maybe, I think that was about 2000, mm-hmm. 2003, that range. I did fall victim to that marketing.
Uh-oh.
So that's how they get you.
That's how they get you. You
fall victim. That's how they get you. Certain marketing, because you realize the marketing isn't about getting you to go get something right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about that subtle thing where you're like, oh, this is an interesting commercial. And then when you look and you're in a liquor store and you're like, oh, I need a beer real quick. And you're like, oh, the most interesting man in the world. And you get a Dos Equis.
Yeah.
And like later, he's like, oh, that's when you're in that moment. Oh, yeah. Them. They had a funny commercial.
Yeah. I feel like, and maybe you felt this too, Mountain Dew, at least in my memory of it, was marketed more towards like skater, white boy, like some cool X Games shit. But then Code Red came around and that one was more marketed towards like black people. That was like them attempting an effort at an urban market for Mountain Dew. And similarly, I thought that it was like different than the alternative.
Yeah, man. They were trying to go at Sprite, I guess, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, when was it? When was that? When did Mountain Dew Code Red? 2001. 2001 it dropped. Mountain Dew Code Red. Yeah, I remember it. I was in college. They would have it at the cafeteria. Mountain Dew Code Red.
Yeah, I loved Mountain Dew and Mountain Dew Code Red. And I thought, I similarly had heard for years that it lowered your sperm count. But at the time, I was like, I ain't doing nothing with these sperm. I'll drink all I want.
Yeah.
What could possibly go wrong with all of this?
Yeah. I mean, how much do you need? I guess the real thing is, you know, what is the result of having a lowered sperm count and procreating? Because if there's millions of them, then you can lose 100,000 and be all right.
Right. How much lower are we talking in the grand scheme of things?
Like, does a low sperm count make the baby? Let's see. Let's see about what happens when you have a lower sperm count, you know?
Yeah. I don't think that a low sperm count affects the baby that comes out. I don't think that, like, if you have a low sperm count, now your baby's got, like, a weird arm or anything like that. I just think it makes it less likely that you can effectively make a baby.
Low sperm count symptoms might include problems with sexual function. Mm-mm. For example, low sex drive or difficulty maintaining an erection, pain, swelling, or a lump in the testicle area, decreased facial or body hair, or other signs of a chromosome or hormone abnormality. Okay.
Oh, man. Even if you're not using them, you want them in there just to keep you looking the way you're supposed to look, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah, just to keep, you know, because if you got a patchy beard, you don't want people like, hey, is that, what's going on, Joe? It's a fresh hole in your beard right there, homie.
Hey, man, you might want to work on your sperm count.
You've been drinking. I told you to stop drinking those Jack and Mountain Dew.
Number one, Jack, it's disgusting. But number two, it's bad for you.
Yeah, Mountain Dew didn't make it into the mixer, the drink mixer of, you know, ginger ale made it in there. Coke made it in there. Soda water made it in there.
Nigga, milk made it in. And they were still like, well, we're not doing Mountain Dew.
Somebody really pushed white Russians, like, as milk and liquor. Like, yeah, sure. $14, no problem. New York City. I remember I ordered, because it was a phase of drinking where I just kind of ordered shit that I heard other people say, or I just heard from some. Because my first, I think definitely first couple times I drank when I was underage, I just ordered gin and juice because I heard the song. Like, I'm like, gin and juice. That's like, man, really? I know. And then gin should be completely illegal anyway.
Right.
Just the, I think I got arrested the second time I drank it.
Just from the natural effects of what gin does to a human body.
Different energy into me. Yeah, it should be, that should be illegal. It just doesn't, gin will make you sin. It's just, it's a mess.
But yeah, gin's bad.
It didn't make it into the drinks.
Which is, to me, a very telling sign of how dangerous this drink is, that even bartenders were like, I wouldn't dare mix that one.
No, I can't mix that with your poison.
I'll poison you one poison. Way, but not another. Come on, man.
No.
Okay, let me ask you this. Where was it, do you think, the first time you heard that Mountain Dew affected your sperm count? Where do you feel like that rumor first hit you?
It was one of those. It's just one of those. I think maybe 2008 or nine, you know, just hearing about it and just really feeling like, yo, this sounds about right.
Yeah.
You know,
and you were just like, yeah, I'm all in.
I think, yeah, I believe it. And at that point, I had abandoned Code Red. So I was willing to just jump on board and really, you know, keep pushing that.
Yeah. The funny thing about the way that conspiracies work is that, like, if it's some shit that you've already given up, you're like, that sounds good to me. I'm done.
Yep. I'm done. Anyways, I knew something was up. Uh-huh. You just put it on your intuition. I knew. I felt that shit, huh?
Right. But then somebody's like, hey, you know, the chicken's got all these probiotics and weird things in it that are bad for you. And you're like, I don't know. I think I'll stick with chicken.
Yeah, it's like, that's just that mumbo jumbo right there that y'all talking, man. I ain't, what are you talking about, man? Get on gone with that bullshit.
I ain't even trying to hear that, man. Chicken been good to me my whole life.
In all forms. You know, I haven't had Popeyes in a while.
Yeah.
But there was a level of self-loathing each time. Where I kind of would concede that I was going to have bubble guts afterwards. Like, oh, yeah, this is what it's going to do
right
to me. And this is just part of it. I would accept that.
Yeah. And that's not good.
It's not good. You know, you get better methods. You take Pepto-Bismol preemptively, like when you, you know. Like when you do Molly, now you're like, okay, sure. Molly makes me shit, so let me get ahead of it a little bit. Oh, here's a theory, too. I'll never forget this. It was 2016 All-Star Weekend in Toronto, and Chappelle had a show there.
Yeah.
And I go to the show. Backstage, they had Popeyes. And me and Donnell Rollins, and we were eating this Popeyes, and he's like, yo, this Popeyes is fresh. It tasted like it was made with love.
Which is never a statement anyone's ever made about Popeyes ever.
Yeah, we were there like, this is different. They got Canada got different chicken regulations up here. We could tell it just tasted fresher. And we were like, yeah, this is not going to give us diarrhea or nothing. It just tasted better. So that's one. Just we obviously Canada treats their food and chickens better than we do. But it was just, to get that.
Did you in fact not get diarrhea from that Popeyes?
Did not get diarrhea. It's a conversation I'll remember forever. I remember just, it was just me and Donnell like, damn, this chicken is fresh, man. It's different. Like, what have we been doing back home? Destroying
damn, this
ourselves.
3-day-old chicken is fresh.
Mm. Yeah, it was fresh, man. It was a different, it's a different level. Just the, fast food restaurants and stuff in other countries sometimes just have a, what was I at? Was I in Amsterdam years back and I went to Burger King and then after I got my food and they handed me my food, the guy said, enjoy your delicious meal. Just had this real, just professionalism.
Yeah.
And I'm like, enjoy your delicious meal. I'm like, God damn it. It's different over here.
Yeah, it's a classier, more delightful experience. Thus, the food is better.
Yeah, that living wage experience.
Yeah. A person who doesn't have to go home to a disappointed wife because he can't make rent. Yeah, it's great. Well, let me ask you this. Man. With all of that, knowing or at least believing at the time that Mountain Dew could affect your sperm count, did that get you off of soda completely? Are you like now a dude who like, I ain't drinking none of that and just in case this is like larger than Mountain Dew? This is spreading across the entire soda, lexicon.
Not all the way off, but I don't seek it out. You know, it's one of those that I'll if it's around sometimes I'll have a Sprite, but I'm not really buying Sprite. But if it's at somebody's spot, I'll have a Sprite. That type of thing. I do wanna cut out sugar, but it's tough.
It's hard, dude.
It's super tough. It's just I had a real sweet tooth and it really went up when I stopped drinking because I used to drink a lot of Jameson and ginger ale and that's a lot of sugar. And so I remember just after, I thought when I stopped drinking, I would just lose a lot of weight, but I was replacing it with sugar. So I would just be, I remember being in a Walgreens candy aisle and I'd been sober a couple weeks or something and my mouth just started watering.
Yeah.
Just from being around candy. And I was like, God damn, this sugar really in my veins for real, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't, I similarly am like constantly trying to like cut back. Oh, I'll stop eating fucking cookies and brownies and sour straws and shit. And literally if I'm around it, I'm going to eat this shit. I can't even begin to keep my hands off of it.
Yeah. It's a tough one. And once I replaced it with cocaine, I was able to kind of get it out. It's just like, you can't just give up a vice. You have to find something else.
You got to find a cooler vice
that kind of balances it out. And you could also spend time with that. So it's just, every day.
And that's the best lesson that I think you guys could walk away with is if you're addicted to sugar, you got to get on cocaine. It's going to solve a lot of your problems.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not gonna taste as much, while you're on there. You're not gonna want you don't eat as much anyways, so the sugar thing. Yeah.
Who needs to talk about who needs a sugar craving when you got all these business ideas to talk about?
Yeah, hell yeah. Future poop and then and we have a sitcom and guess where they hang out all the time? Future poop. Let's go.
Now that's called cross marketing. We're in the business, baby. All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll be back with more Hannibal Buress and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
This what I feel like. Yeah. Laughing to the bank like.
I always forget how long that one is. And we're back. We're back here with more Hannibal Buress. More My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about the possibility that Mountain Dew destroys your sperm count. And I guess leaves you less of a man than you started, with a patchy beard and less confidence. More of a shell of a man at this point.
Destroys you. Whose laugh was that? I know it, but I couldn't.
I often come up with a lot of weird drops, and then I also petition my audience to send me drops, and that was sent to us by a person. So I don't actually know.
Okay. Because I know the moment, but I just couldn't. Yeah, I couldn't place it. That was on.
It feels like a very, and I could be very wrong, it feels like a Steve Wilkos-y, Jerry Springer type vibe of like somebody retaliating to an audience making fun of them. But I could be wrong.
Wilkos, what a success story, you know?
My God, the life that he's lived.
Right? You know, off of just being security guard. But what about like the bailiff on Judge Judy? No spinoff for him.
His problem is he doesn't punch enough people in the face. And that really, it doesn't make us remember him the way that we need to. You know what I mean?
He had so many chances, though. Like, so
so many missed opportunities.
So many. It wasn't just like a season. He had so many shots to just, and it's not like Judge Judy is switching up her moves at all.
She coming in hot every time. If you don't back your girl up and punch somebody in the face, man.
Yeah, he could have been saying wild stuff all the time. And he was just, you know, he did that's his move, shaking.
All right. Damn. We got to jump into this research. Now, let's start with what we do know. Medical professionals, based on everything that I read, do say that it is, in fact, a myth that Mountain Dew kills your sperm. So if you decide that you want to go back to Mountain Dew Code Red, apparently that is not exactly what is happening with Mountain Dew, right?
Okay.
Now, one of the things that they say about Mountain Dew, and this was what everybody theorized, was that there were two reasons why they were theorizing that Mountain Dew was killing your sperm. And number one was it has more caffeine than any other type of soda. It's like way more caffeine than the average soda. And then number two is this chemical called yellow number five. Have you heard of yellow number five?
Yeah.
It's the main ingredient that everybody was worried is like fucking up your sperm.
Okay. What's the, I want to jump back to the caffeine part. How much more caffeine than the other drinks does Mountain Dew have?
So I don't know that it's like an insanely more amount, but I think that's why it became like the extreme drink was like they were pitching it as like it was like a precursor for like 5-hour energies and your monsters and all that other stuff, where it just was telling you, look, we got a little bit more than everybody else is putting in their regular drinks.
OK, so I just pulled up some stats.
Yep.
Mountain Dew has 55 milligrams caffeine per can. Diet Coke, 46.3.
Yeah.
Dr. Pepper, 42. Pepsi, 38.9. Okay. So.
So they're shitting on Coke, everybody else's.
Yeah. On the caffeine side of the game. Okay. And a cup of coffee has 150 milligrams of caffeine.
I'm so glad you said that, because they say that essentially, like, for a cup of coffee and that level of caffeine, that, what'd you say, 145?
150.
So they're saying that if you drink, let's say, a 12-ounce cup of coffee, they actually say that that improves your sperm motility, which is just the sperm's ability to, like, move around and shit, right?
Yeah.
But They say if you were to drink four of those cups, four 12-ounce cups, that would pretty much make your sperm sit still and not move at all, because that's an overdose of caffeine for your sperm. So it could affect you if you do too much caffeine, but a little bit of caffeine actually makes your sperm perk up and shit.
Okay. The word motility, for some reason, made me think of a futuristic startup that's like a pill that you take. And then it's like these other beings, and they go into your in your sac and give your sperm motivational speeches. And you're like, hey, come on, man. You know, and they're in there just talking and like, you can do this. What are you doing? Like, oh, yeah, okay, I was just. And he's trying to find out the sperm wasn't just set. It was, just, you know.
They're just giving the sperm. They're giving the sperm the Everest treatment. Just like, come on, man. How you see you there? Just sitting there? What's wrong with you?
What's up, man? You can create a life. Come on. You can bring a new human being and that human being and that. And you can do it. You can be you. You can change the world.
Believe in yourself. Why are you sitting there with your tail all curled up looking stupid?
I'm worried I'm going to create a serial killer. So I just the possibilities of what a human being can be and just all of the just things that can happen in the world with all the variables, they just drive me crazy. And I just don't want to get out there. It's just so many things that can happen. So I just feel better just being right. Just leave me be.
There's actually no evidence of humans actually being worth the investment that I could possibly put into an egg. So I don't want to be a part of it.
I just don't. It's just a lottery. And it's just, some are amazing, but it's a lot. And you might just have somebody just regular and boring. And I don't want to be a part of that. It's just, you know, why?
The good people are sort of contributing to the destruction of the planet. Yeah, I don't know. It just doesn't seem.
Yeah, it's just the wealth disparity. And I don't want to be on either side of it right now, you know, because it just wouldn't feel good.
All right. So the sperm motility could be affected by all these cups of coffee. So four cups would basically come out to 600 milligrams of caffeine, which is a shit ton. And apparently it would require you mathematically to drink essentially 11 cans of Mountain Dew a day to have that same effect. So it's not like you're anywhere near, in all likelihood, the chances of actually affecting your sperm negatively unless you are drinking an insane amount of Mountain Dew.
Okay.
So, you know, the average person probably ain't doing that. Now, when I was a kid, I used to go to this gas station by my house and drink like those. It wasn't a big gulp, but it was because it wasn't a real 7-Eleven, but it was like a big ass cup of Mountain Dew, and they would let you refill for free. So I drink like two or three of those a day, and that was like 30 ounces each. So I was fucking myself up pretty good, but I don't know if I was fucking my sperm up, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, man, it's just a lot. Some sodas, I would you'll notice there's a different harshness in some. Mm-hmm. Now thinking back, I remember Crushes had a sort of harsher hit when it would go down. That initial flavor, what you're getting it for, is that taste. Mostly we should be spitting stuff out. Now that I think about it, we should just be like how we like wine tasters, most of this stuff, because we're just doing it for the initial flavor.
Right.
We shouldn't have it go all the way through the process. What? Why?
No, that's not meant for your intestine.
Like through the whole thing and out. What have I been? What have I been doing to myself? But yeah, I remember those certain stuff. Like, oh, that burnt like that felt like liquor a little bit the way it hit.
Mm-hmm. That's got a nip
that's to it. Yeah, man. It's just, you know.
No, I think that's 100% correct. A bunch of these things are not actually meant for your body. And they actually talked about some of the things that beyond your sperm count that Mountain Dew can negatively affect you with. And some of the things are fucking wild. It said if you overdrink Mountain Dew or any sodas, you can end up with insomnia, irritability, upset stomach, diarrhea, and a faster heartbeat. Like, you just walking around with a fucking nearly exploding heart for the rest of your life because you wanted to do the do.
Yeah, see, man, and that and drinks and food and how it affects mood makes me think about times in my life where I probably wasn't in the right space to make a high-level decision.
Yeah,
and I might have been irritable because of drinking poison the past couple of days or sleepy or whatever.
Yeah,
and made a high-level decision based on that shit. And like, well, should have drank more water, and I would have been, you know, in Angry Birds too.
You're right.
That's what I'm saying. I was hungover. No, I ain't doing no Angry Birds 2. I did the first one. I'm not. Just yelling. You know? I'm not consistent. I wasn't at my best.
I'm sorry. I had a big gulp of Mountain Dew and my head just wasn't on straight.
It just felt like the right thing to say in that moment.
I actually had a lovely time on Angry Birds 1. And in retrospect, yeah. I'd love that check as well.
I just, you know, it was such an easy 30 minutes of work. Thank you so much.
Who am I to turn this down?
Disclaimer, I was not offered Angry Birds 2. And I don't have real anger about not being in it.
Oh, man.
Before well, Blob picks up, like, hey, you weren't right for it. You would have ruined the natural chemistry that they had in two with your reads.
I do love the idea of them being like, yeah, it just doesn't fit. You don't look like one of the birds. You don't look like the turquoise bird to me.
I do wish, though, when we do animated stuff and we do the press for it, can we just dress me up as the animal and we do the run? You know what I'm saying? Like,
sure.
Like, you ain't got nobody in these costumes on the... Put a dog next to me, at least, like a full-size dog next to me. And then we can kind of banter back and forth because
how do you expect me to get in character if I'm not at least wearing the dog costume or sitting next to a dog that in this ad?
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't just look at the poster next to the journalist and like lock in, you know. But if you give me a dog, I'm just like, yeah, you know how it be out here. We out here doing it again. Pets, two dog stuff, you know. And it's just, yeah, it's just the story. Just everybody just working with the cast. You know, cast, it's like a family, you know, when we out there and just talking. And yeah, hey, we're like a family, even though we did our sessions separately and nobody ever worked in the same room together. It's like a distant family. You know that cousin you don't really talk to that much, but when you get together, it's good. Like that. Check it out.
You know, theaters. We did our sessions and I never met him, but I did see his name signed on the same sheet of paper when we went into the rooms later from each other. So yeah, there's a bond there.
Yeah, there's a bond. The energy he left in the room. When I got to the room, they said, oh, he was way more fun than you were. He was more.
Oh, yeah, he shook everyone saying, you sort of just lowered your head and went straight to the microphone. But that's neither here nor there. Thank you for doing the movie. Okay, let's talk a little bit about Yellow Number 5, because I do think that this is an important equation in this whole thing. It's the main ingredient that everybody points to in terms of lowering sperm count. And one of the things that people point out is that Yellow Number 5 is not specific to Mountain Dew. It's actually in a lot of other shit. It's in candy, it's in potato chips, it's in cosmetics, and it's even in some of our medications. They're putting Yellow Number 5, the dangerous one, in meds and shit, right? And one of the things that the FDA does is they come out and they specifically claim, in fact, not that Yellow Number 5 lowers your sperm count, but that in some articles, they even claim that Yellow Number 5 does the opposite and improves your sperm count. that you actually get more sperm from eating yellow number five, which is very opposite of everything we've heard all these years.
That's really wild. But of course they would say that, you know, mm-hmm. they're trying to sell more yellow number five. Exactly. And what I find interesting about yellow number five, right, is mm-hmm. I can't even, the government made it? They made it? Because I can't even find, like, when I search who made yellow number five, there's no person. It's just like, this is what it is. This is yep. what it is. It's just the government. And now I need to find out about yellow number four. Because why the hell did they even need to? What the hell was wrong with yellow number four? Where you like, nah, another one. So they just kept making stuff.
Yeah.
This is all a hoax. So this is a government company that just made up stuff. So then they would just make the food companies have to buy it. So the food companies would be able to distribute. Or they would have just had roadblocks for the trucks. So the trucks wouldn't be able to get to the stores. So
exactly.
Just to get access to the stores. Yeah.
That's the fucked up part, right, is that we're talking about the FDA, and the FDA being a government organization is also approving these things for our usage. But they're not coming out. And the FDA in 2017, this is a great example of what I mean. In 2017, it was proved that a third of the FDA's approved drugs had problems, either in not working the way they're supposed to or making people feel like a different kind of sick after they took the motherfuckers. So, of course, the FDA, to your point, is going to approve yellow number five because they made the shit and they want to put it in shit.
Yeah, it's a dark road, man. Yeah. And then I'm looking at yellow number four. I want to know, like, why do y'all keep on making them? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, oh, we got to sell this to that. That's because yep. you know what it is? The easiest customer to get is a customer you already had. So they just keep on releasing yellows like Jordans.
Ooh.
You like yellow now? Oh, here's the new one. It's an update.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like and you just keep on like, and it's not much different, but it's yep. the new one. And you know, you get to sell it. And this is what it costs to do business with us. You gotta keep getting these new yellows.
Yeah.
Or we not gonna be too mellow.
Yeah. You guys can't see it at home, but Hannibal just leaned real far back from the microphone in celebration, I guess, of that hot line he just dropped. And now he's changing his filter. It's a fantastic move. It's a real mic drop of a moment. That yeah. said, with yellow number five, and I think all of this is important, that one of the things that they also point to, despite approving yellow number five for our usage, they do also say that there is a chance that overconsumption of yellow number five can lead to things like eczema and asthma and hyperactivity. So again, it's the government pulling their bullshit, right? Because they're not saying like, oh, it'll shrink your dick. In fact, they're saying it's the opposite of shrink your dick. But they will say, hey, but there's a chance you're going to be chubby and can't breathe and also overactive at the exact same time. So they're skipping one problem to let you get away with a different one.
Just like the government, brother. That's just like the government is just always just trying just to sabotage us, but make it seem like they're trying to help. Oh, we found this. But trust me, our friend that paid a lot of money to get this through, he's legit. And then years later,
mm-hmm.
gonna see, man.
It's some bullshit.
It's a tough one. Yeah, man. The simulation, man, is just real. I don't know, brother. It's just, sometimes I just want to leave this world and just go to a farm and just make my own food. No yellows. 1 through 5. definitely not 6 through 10, you know? Just where I just make mine on the land and just, yep. you know? And then just the future poop farm outpost, and it's just what it is.
No yellow, just green. Natural green yeah. that grows from the earth.
Yeah.
Okay, so the additional sort of wild thing that I think I discovered in all of this is that, and I wanted to really ask myself, okay, if we're talking about sperm count, what are the things that potentially could lower your sperm count? Things that you would associate with unhealthy living, obviously, is probably closer to things that are going to lower your sperm count. And they say that smoking tobacco, being overweight, consuming too much alcohol and drug use, all of which, in my personal opinion, half of these things at least are caused and or related to Mountain Dew. Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. In that scenario, Mountain Dew is a guy. It's the real gateway drug, as far as I'm concerned.
Mountain Dew is leading, man. The drinking, that's the government right there, man.
Mm-hmm.
Pushing it. Why are they pushing the drinking, huh? But they not pushing the weed. They pushing the drinking because they got all the drinking spots. You know,
right,
what I'm saying, man? Hey, you could drink. Look, football drinking.
Yep.
You don't see nobody ever sloshed in a commercial, though.
Nah, nobody's wasted ever.
Nobody's ever wasted. Nobody, I never seen that many people happy drinking Coors Light. Also, nobody would ever drink Coors Light without advertising. Nobody would ever naturally gravitate to a Coors Light. Like, exactly. Oh, let me get something mediocre and flavorless organically. That's what I desire on my own, by myself. Let me go get it.
Nah, yeah, that's not the choice. That's something institutionalized that you've landed on. But you didn't start your day being like, I love Coors Light. I got a craving for Coors.
Coors Light. I feel like it will just, I'll have a good time. I feel like it represents friendship to me. That's why I connect those. What? No.
Whenever I feel alone, I reach for a Coors Light, and I feel a little more whole.
Yeah, no, that's how you know how trash Coors Light is, right? Because a big part of their marketing was like, we made a can that you could see how cold it is while it's in the can. It's like you can see that it's really cold. Like, what? That's not a. Like, yeah,
that's not how you advertise beer. I'll be honest with you. The cold wasn't the main thing that I was looking for here.
But if you say something as a company of you with your full chest, then it's gonna get people. It's just the level of force you go with it. Like, yeah. When they did the Hanes campaign, and it's like, oh, it's Hanes, but now ain't no tags on the shirt. Like, it wasn't that deep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that wasn't
no tags.
That wasn't the difference maker in me enjoying this t-shirt.
Yeah. Oh, for this white tee that I pay. Oh, no tag. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I don't have scissors. So this was just really, I would beat my wife over how annoying these shirt tags were. So luckily, I saw MJ with these tagless shirts, or else
luckily I saw Nazi MJ wearing these tagless shirts, and now I feel, yeah, this is better. This is much better.
Yeah, this is gonna change my life right now, you know.
I feel much more connected to the brand now that I know it's tagless.
It's tagless, yeah, man. They're like, yo, let's let them know it's tagless. And that worked. For some folks, it did.
I guess. All right. I won't kill myself. My shirt's tagless. Perfect. All right. We're going to take another break. We'll be back with more Hannibal Buress and more My Mama Told Me. And we are back.
Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay.
Yeah, we're back here with more Hannibal Buress. More My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about Yellow Number 5 and stupid-ass tagless shirts. I don't know. We started getting off into all kinds of conspiracy theories about the way the government and advertising works and tries to trick you out of stuff. And boy, was it a good time.
That's why I enjoy travel when I've been in Asia. When I've been in like Thailand, Korea, and Japan. Because I don't know the language, so the advertising, it doesn't hit my brain as much.
Oh, they can't trick you.
It's you're not absorbing it the same way. Even if you're like, I don't want, you just kind of, you see the image, but it's not, you know, not your folks. You don't know none of the people and you don't know the words. So it's just, you're able to have less noise in the brain. It's nice.
Yeah, there is. I went to Japan a few years ago and I felt something similar where it's like a bunch of pictures of stuff that I didn't already associate with being good. And so without the words, it doesn't look that good. It's just like, I guess they got a different kind of thing over here.
Yeah, it's nice, man. And just even not knowing what people are saying when you at the coffee shop is kind of, as long as they not like looking towards you, just if you're able to be in your own zone, it's nice to just really like, okay, this is good. I don't know what none of y'all talking about.
Yeah. I got a little private booth over here with the English language.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into this game. It's a fun game. It's a classic game on this podcast. It's a game called White Lies.
Ugly, you are disgusting. I'm going to kill you. Give me $200.
White Lies. It's a fun game where I am going to introduce to you a conspiracy theory widely believed. And widely is a heavy word here. A conspiracy theory that white people fuck around with, that they possibly believe and spread amongst themselves. And what I would love for you to do, Hannibal, is tell me why you think white people are so committed to this conspiracy theory. What do you think they're holding on to in this theory? Does that make sense?
Okay. Yep.
Hell yeah. Okay. This is a fun one. It's a more recent one, in fact. That as of late, people have been claiming that Bill Gates is making fake snow, that in Texas in particular, snow was falling. And from that snow, they were making snowballs and then lighting the snowballs on fire. And they claimed that the snow was not melting and in fact was getting hotter because of the fire that they were lighting on these snowballs. And because they were basically claiming that this was metal in the snow that was making the snow get hotter and not melt. And that was all because of Bill Gates controlling the weather. And my question for you, Hannibal, is why do you think white people believe in this fake snow from Bill Gates?
Is there video of what they're talking about?
Oh, there absolutely is video. Do you want to see some video?
I do need to see it just to feel it.
Hell yeah. Hold on. I can pull up some video. That's not a problem, actually.
Yeah, because that would sound, I mean, I think the real thing is that you really think billionaires can do anything, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, especially with just a plan and access to people and, you know, and maybe they can fund stuff for a long time without really needing to turn a profit and what.
Right.
It's like, hey, figure this out. Figure this out. You got 10 years.
I'm going to play the video for you.
Goes out to our government and Bill Gates. Thank you, Bill Gates, for trying to fucking trick us that this is real snow. You'll see it's not melting.
What the hell?
And it's going to burn. Snow don't burn. Snow fucking melts. No water, no dripping, no nothing. If I put this shit in the microwave, it's going to start sparking because there's metal mixed in it. So you see that?
No way.
No melting.
Hey, you know what? I was, before you showed me.
Yeah.
I was on the fence. Like, maybe it's true. I don't know. It seemed like something is possible. But then once I heard her say, thank you, Bill Gates, I was like, oh, it's not true.
Nope.
Just on her tone. I just dismissed it on tone, which is not how you should make decisions. But on this one, on this snow, fire snow conspiracy theory, I'm going to go with my gut and offer her, thank you, Bill Gates, like that.
I love
I'm gonna say it's not.
I love just the immediate lack of knowledge around melting snow, but 100% knowledge that this is Bill Gates' fault. Like Bill, I might think Bill Gates was involved, but I wouldn't be like Bill Gates did the shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's like 88 people under him that I'd blame before it was directly him making the snow.
Here's another layer to it though, right? you know how sometimes rappers orchestrate rap beef, right? And they put it together for promo. What if Bill Gates got a weird sense of humor and he's just like, here's $1,000. Tell him I be making my own snow and be mad about it.
He's just doing Boosie promos. Yeah. Tell him I got fake snow for $1,000. And they just like, yeah, I guess. All right. I'll do it.
Tell him, yeah, just say it. Yeah. Auditioning her. Oh, she sounds perfect.
Charlene, let me hear you say, thank you, Bill Gates, but mad. Say it real mad.
To distract us from the real evil shit he's actually doing. Mm. He like, do some snow bullshit while I'm still in kangaroos.
I do think, to your point, I do think that's why a bunch of billionaires never come out and even disagree with this shit. Like, they never address it at all. And I think so much of it is like, oh, if that's what y'all think I'm doing, I'm chilling. I don't give a fuck about that. The fakes know I'll sleep fine. I am murdering babies with bathwater that I flew in from a different country. Like, I'm not, I ain't got nothing to do with the snowballs.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, smoke screen, man. Smoke screen.
Hell yeah.
Smoke bomb, boom. And then, so yeah, that's where it's at.
I love it.
So let's get into that. That's the next research. Is seeing if billionaires are creating fake conspiracy theories to cover up what they're actually doing.
Oh, I like that, because there's a, okay, immediately after you say that, that makes me think about how, like, that article came out where Tyler Perry was shooting entire television series in like 12 days. And it's like, is he doing that, or is something way more fucked up happening there? And he's real cool with y'all knowing that he shoots quickly on set. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm overworking the actors? Fine. Sure. If that's what you want to go with, I'm cool.
You might get the electric chair you mess up a take on. You mess up a line on one of the... Yeah. I remember seeing that, I was like, damn, he did how many episodes and how many days, and I'm still sitting on this goddamn YouTube video of me playing Madden. I've been sitting on this for like 11 months, still tinkering, like, one more thing.
If I could just sharpen this a little bit, yeah, then they'll know I enjoy playing Madden. All right, Hannibal. We did it. Hannibal, this was a pleasure. Yeah. This was a delight. Could you tell
Thank
the people
you,
at home where they can find you, what cool shit you got going on?
You can catch me. I'm about to start. I found out about this app called Station Head. Mm. And it's that you can do live streaming radio, and it connects with Spotify and Apple Music. And so it's kind of fitting for what I wanted, because I had Clubhouse, but then it's only talking. And so it's like you could do the talking and it's integrated with music. So you kind of play what you like, do a radio show. So I'm about to start doing shit on there.
Hell yeah.
Station Head, Future Poop coming soon. Music dropping soon. Check out my pages. I'm doing more music now. Getting on the road, back on the road, you know. I'm doing my first indoor show in about 15, 16 months.
Whoa.
This weekend. And yeah, in Honolulu.
Oh, shit. You starting in Hawaii? That's fire.
Yeah. Yeah, I moved out here for a little bit temporarily. So first gig's in Hawaii. So it's going to be interesting. I haven't done like a real show in a minute, but I'm hyped.
Hell yeah. Well, follow Hannibal, do all those things, and look out for Future Poop. And as always, you can follow me at Langston Kerman, and please do all the things you're supposed to do to a podcast, subscribe, review. I don't know. It don't matter. Okay, bye.